speak, obviously, about the subject, not wishing to be too obvious, of friends and family. Hallelujah. And so the thing I want to start with, actually, is this morning it's going to be maybe a little difficult because there were certain things I want to explain to people that maybe you don't know much about the kingdom of God. You don't know much about Jesus Christ. You don't know maybe much about the miracle of the new birth that changed the whole of humankind who believe. I'd like to remind you that at Calvary, God did not change. Hallelujah. At the cross, Jesus did not change. But at the cross, Jesus gave all mankind the opportunity to change. So that's why I'm going to be speaking to some of you as mature Christians who understand scriptures, who understand the purposes of God. I'm going to speak to some others that maybe this is new to you. And in which case, I'll be honest with you, a lot of what I'm going to share you may not understand. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to communicate with us. And then there'll be others of you that are just going to be bored and fall asleep. Those people I will point to. And when I start pointing, just make sure that you join in with me so we can all point. It just helps to keep people on the edge. Believe it or not, I was never part of the school system because there's no question I would have been sued in the first week. Hallelujah. Introduce myself a little bit. My name is Vaughn. My wife, Wendy, here at the front. Please stand. Hallelujah. So, I've been part of this church now for nearly 13 years, and it's been a great pleasure. I'm still part of the oversight of this house, but I'm being released more now because of missions. And my wife and I have traveled the nations extensively. We've actually had 5 children born in 5 different countries. 4 of our children are in church this morning. Praise God. Our other one, our eldest son, goes to church near Albany. So we thank God that all 5 of our children are churchgoers. They've all been on mission trips at one time or the other. So it's something that's very important. In fact, our eldest daughter, Alice, who was just here, spoke yesterday at Women's Aglow, and it was one of the best, she told the story about how she met and fell in love with Abraham, her fiancé, a doctor from Hyderabad, India. And considering I knew the story, I was pretty impressed. Hallelujah. It was a wonderful experience. Yes, my other daughter, Grace, is the one who actually orchestrated the skit. And my other daughter, Sarah, at the moment is helping, was doing, I'm sure, part of the worship in the Northern congregation at the moment. So I want to encourage all of you, families are a wonderful thing. They may be the biggest priority in your life. And I want to tell you that they're God's biggest priority in his life as well. You see, the purpose, you may have heard that song about the glory of God. The purpose of Jesus' death was to bring many sons and daughters, whenever I say sons, girls, include yourself, many sons and daughters to glory, to be able to be elevated into a place where God is looking at you the same way he looks at his own son. The word glory in many respects actually means opinion. Now, my wife just went down and made me a cup of tea. Hallelujah. Now, this tea, as always, made very strong. In this event, because I'm speaking, there's some honey in it because it helps the throat, praise God. People, if you drink ice water when you're speaking, you are making a big mistake because it freezes and shrinks your vocal cords, therefore makes matters worse, doesn't help. Did you all get that, preachers? And so, now my wife was, hang on, glorious. Or to put it another word, perfect. You see, perfection is an opinion. Perfection is an opinion. Some of you may be dating. Some of you are married. Some of you have got lovely children. And some people, I know what it was like because, as I said, I didn't get born again until I was 29. I know what it was like when you suddenly meet somebody's girlfriend for the first time and you smile and shake their hand, but inside you're going, woof. what are you seeing in that dog, brother? What's going on here? Hang on, wait, come stay with me now. But he thinks she's just perfect. Just perfect. Hershey's chocolate is one of my favorite examples. The most disgusting thing you can ever put between your teeth. I'll ask anybody who was born outside of America. Yet some people, they not only think it's perfect and glorious, they build a honking great park about it in Pennsylvania. So you can see the opinion. Whether your opinion is baseball. I heard somebody today talking about Stoudemire hit 10 out of 10 this morning. And some people think basketball is perfect. You know, obviously, you're all wrong because rugby is perfect. But the reality is that God, through Jesus Christ, has elevated you to his glory so that he sees you the same as he sees his son. Most Christians never believe that in their life. Because he wanted to bring many sons to glory. And he didn't do it by anything you did. He did it through a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice was enough to appease a righteous God who was angry with mankind because of their sin and disobedience. So we are promoted and elevated from unacceptable to God to perfect in one act, receiving Jesus Christ. One act. One act. Most of you here, if you were born in this country, how long did it take you to become an American? Was it when you started going to school? Was it when you graduated kindergarten or graduated grade school or graduated middle school or graduated high school or graduated college? Or was it the moment the umbilical cord was cut and you were an American? When you're born again, you have the same experience. The second that you come out of the birthing womb of faith, you are perfect in God's sight. You don't believe it. Your family definitely doesn't believe it. Hallelujah. But that's what God says. So I want you to understand that in the Old Testament, we know plenty of stories. Who of us have heard and read so many Old Testament stories? And we know many of us could name families in the Old Testament. Probably the most famous. We would start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and then Israel had a dozen sons, and many of us could probably name most of them, if not all of them. And then we know that along came, Joseph's boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. And so it goes on. We know King David. We know Solomon, his son. We know Jeroboam, his sons. We know about Sarah and Rebecca. We know about their wives. We know about the children, etc., etc. But can you do that in the New Testament? All right, Bible scholars. I know one named marriage in the New Testament. Can you know who it is? Oh, yeah, that was, I forgot that one. Sorry, there's two then. Ananias and Sapphira, if you don't know, were just like, well, they dropped dead in church, but that's not important. Priscilla and Aquila is who I was thinking of. But what was Peter's wife's name? We know he was married because he had a mother-in-law. What was his wife's name? What were their brothers' names? What were their children's names? We don't know anything about the names of people in the New Covenant. You know why? God doesn't differentiate between friends and family after Jesus Christ. Can everybody hear what I'm saying? God does not differentiate between friends and family after Jesus Christ. I got a brother. He was born 4 years before me. And his name's Roy. And he lives just outside of London, England, which is where we were both born. Now, there are probably five or six people, maybe more. I'd say maybe as many as 10 people in this church that I'm closer to than my brother. at least 10, maybe more. I'm closer to Tony than I am my own brother. Can we have the first scripture, Tom? It's gone very quiet when we begin to think about this. How close are you to your brothers and sisters? See, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Can you leave that up? There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You remember that old song? What a friend I have in Jesus. Remember that? That was a nice old song. I want us to think about your friends and about your family. How many of you have got something really seriously deep in your heart about a member of your family that you're mad at them? You haven't forgiven them. And if you are real close to your family, it's only because of one reason. You spent more time with them than anybody else. You've become close to them. Are you telling me, hey, guys, girls, I can't tell, I never were one. But guys, help me. How friendly were you with your brothers growing up? When you're little, you know, your mother and father spent more time stopping you fighting than anything else. So are you telling me that loving your family is natural? You telling me that Jacob and Esau loved each other? You telling me that the brothers loved Joseph? Are you telling me that Absalom and all those other sons loved each other? No, they didn't. They were always busy killing each other. Hallelujah. Selling each other into slavery. You see, and so we seem to be convinced that we love our family, but that's not true. You were just raised in the same house, and then when you, my brother is 4 years older than me. How much did he love me till I was 15? I was his punching bag. There's no way he was going to take me to the movies. There was no way he was going to do nothing with me. No matter how much my mother tried to persuade him. My father died when I was 7. Might have been different had he lived. But the reality is, then one day my brother noticed that he could see eye to eye with me. In fact, he started getting a little bit of a crick in the neck. And suddenly he thought, So we became friends. But what happened to the first 15 years? We weren't friends. We weren't friends when I threw a cricket bat at him. We weren't friends when I hit him with a tennis racket. We weren't friends in those days. We were, in fact, the Bible says that brothers are made for adversity. So I'm just saying, you know, how much do you really love your family? Because there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And some of you may think, brother? Gee. Jesus is my brother. My brother's a jerk. Does that make Jesus a jerk in your books? You understand where I'm coming from? I want to talk about friendship, if you could take that off, Tom. I've taught this many times before. We're going to run through this quickly. So you got your high-speed ears on? Yeah. Right. There's four levels of friendship that I want to touch on. We all experience these four levels, at least we should be. Level number one is acquaintance. Level number one is acquaintance. It's based on occasional contact and freedom to ask general questions. All right, you have acquaintances at work, you have acquaintances at church. You even have some family members who are acquaintances. Where when you meet them, you can only, you know, the only thing you got in common is you both like the Yankees or the Giants or the Knicks or, you know, that's it. You're still acquaintances even though you were out of the same womb. And so acquaintances, many of you have been coming to this church even a while. You're still only acquainted with us. And so there's the acquaintances. And the next step is casual friendship based on common interests, activities and concerns, and freedom to ask specific questions, opinions, ideas, dreams and goals. So let's get back to the church. How many of you have actually got any casual friends at work where you actually talk about goals and plans in life? Nah, probably not many, right? How many of you have got in here where you actually discuss your life? How many of you know whether you have brothers and sisters? How many children you have? You see, you don't really have too many friends in life, do you? It's all casual. The third level is where we begin to kick into something. And so the third level of friends and fellowship is based on mutual life goals. Mutual life goals. My life goal is to spend the rest of my life cutting people loose from the trench of ordinariness so that they can begin to go and serve God and be fruitful for the rest of their life, bearing fruit and storing up treasures in heaven instead of losing everything they have on earth. And so that's my vision, that's my goal. And those of us, because now missions or international missions is my central thought, although I'm still very much involved with my first love, which is America. So therefore, there are people in this church who I share those mutual goals. Last night, we sat around the table with the young men and women who are part of our mission's vision. And we weren't just talking about India, which is our primary focus. We weren't just talking about Central America, where we hope to be sending teams this summer. But a new thing has come up just this week, hallelujah, from Dr. Leon, where now we have a vision and a desire to go and begin to work among the First Nation in Canada. I don't know if you know that the First Nations is what they call the indigenous natives in Canada. Here we call them Native Americans. There they call them the First Nation. So already within 2 days, we're beginning to make plans. There's a pastor in Illinois who's resigning his church and was planning to go to India in March. Instead, we're thinking, is he the man who's going to start spearheading the work? Because he's been going into South Dakota for years working among the Native Americans. And so we're thinking, okay, this is a fit. He can begin to... we can believe God for a vehicle. He'll take a team from there up to South Dakota and go there for a week among the people he knows to get used to working, and then go north another 900 miles into northern Saskatchewan among the First Nations. Now, it sounds all very exciting, but to most of you, you're excluded from that, if you get my drift. You can never see yourself being part of that, in which case you and I will never have a level 3 friendship. Does that make sense? Because that's my vision, my dream, my goal. That's what I live for. That's what makes my heart beat. And many of you have got those other dreams, at least I hope you have, because most of our dreams actually went out before we left high school. It's gone quiet in here. You thought the skit was intense. Hallelujah. And so we then have freedom to suggest mutual projects towards reaching life's goals. The fourth level, are you ready? This is a level that most people never reach. Intimate friendship and fellowship. Level 1, acquaintance. Level 2, casual friendship. Level 3, friendship and fellowship. Level 4, intimate friendship and fellowship. Intimate. Somebody say intimate. Say intimate. It's based on commitment to the development of each other's character and dreams. It's based on the commitment to the development of each other's character and dreams. Who are you committed to develop in their dreams and their character? I hate to say this, most people today don't have this relationship with their spouse. A lot of people I know don't have one level 4 relationship in their life. A lot of their friends, they're just there for when they feel bad. Could you please come and help lick my wounds for me? But there's no commitment to character development. There's no commitment to building one another's dreams and making something. You see, in the Bible, it was Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 2, I think verse 25, when he spoke of Epaphroditus. Isn't that an awesome name? I'll have to study that, see what that means. Epaphroditus, and he called him my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. See, until you've got a level 4 relationship, you can't call yourself a fellow soldier. Soldier. Have you got anybody, even your spouse, your children? My children are part of my dream, not just part of my family. My children are not just bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. They are my friends. We share life together. We build vision together. We go on trips together. All my daughters, when they go in India together, they are building their lives together because that is, we hope, something that we've helped to establish in our family. So now let's relate these four levels to three things. Are we doing okay? You're just like listening, right? Not mad at me or anything. Right. Hallelujah. Do you like the tie, by the way? Isn't that nice? I think we got that for Sarah and X's wedding, the shirt I got for my son Paul's wedding. See, so it's all part of it, mate. Anyway, the shoes, now that's another story. They're just like classy. That's the shoes. Classics. Beautiful. Anyway, tell a lot about a man's shoes. So, let's talk about three things, and I'm going to try and do this in 15 minutes, if you'll give that to me, all right? The first situation is each other. We've pretty much covered this. What is your relationship? Do you have a level four relationship with your spouse where you're actually committed to character development? I know you don't. I know many of you don't. Because as soon as you say something, there's World War III. Actually, it's not World War III. It's more like the Cold War. And up goes Berlin Wall. And down comes the relationship. Come on, folks. Hey, I might have been born in the morning, but not this morning. Hallelujah. I know what it's like. I know many people. I've been passionate. I've been in the ministry full-time for 34 years. I know most of us, our marriage is not at level four. So let's go past each other. But each other, how do you really relate to friends? Are you really committed to people? Who's your first team? Who's your team? Who are the people that you're not just a brother to, but you're also a fellow worker and a fellow soldier? That's when you're a level four. So homework, go home and write down all your level fours. Shouldn't take long. In fact, if you need a postage stamp, I'll get you one. That was a bit facetious, but you won't forget it. Okay, can we now put up the scripture from James 4, 4, please, Tom? Now, Tom's a guy, he was from a big family. I don't know how he used to fight with his brothers. They get on with each other now, praise God, but I don't know what it used to be like. 10 boys and one girl. She must have been tough. I just brought tea on my tie. Will it come off? Okay. Okay. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? Is that clear enough? This is New Testament, in case you're not sure. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Makes himself. Did you see the skit? Right? Immediately, Jesus Christ... By the way, that couple are married. I wish they'd kissed each other at the end, but that's not the point. Well, the Bible says kiss the son, so you should. Immediately, she's born again, she's free, she's clean, and then she's tempted, drawn away. Are we okay? Okay, now temptation never goes away. You have to resist it. Now, my question is, how much of a friend are you with this world? Are you an acquaintance? Are you in casual friendship? Are you in friendship and fellowship? Or are you in intimate friendship and fellowship with this world? So, okay. I'm not big on legalistic things. There are certain R movies I would strongly recommend you do not see. There are other R movies that one probably should see. For instance, Braveheart. I think is such a brilliant movie with a brilliant message that those kind of movies, despite the... But how much of a are you making an acquaintance with the things of this world? How much are you making an acquaintance? Or maybe you're going to the next level with these things of this world, that you're not just occasionally maybe watching a movie, that you're beginning to, like this week, I get the Sports Illustrated magazine, and my wife looked at the back page, which was a tasteless ad. She said, "Is that the swimsuit edition?" So I turned it around, it had Ray Lewis on the front. I said, "Well, not exactly." But trust me, when the swimsuit edition comes, because you don't have to pay extra for it, it goes straight in the bin. Because I don't begin to want to go from an acquaintance with this world to some kind of relationship with this world. Notice how the scripture starts, adulterers and adulteresses. So therefore, we go to the next phase and the next phase until, you know, we're beginning to dabble in internet pornography. We're beginning to do these things that we're now in fellowship with the world and we're making ourselves an enemy of God. God is not rejecting you. You're rejecting him. Are we okay? And it's an acquaintance thing. You first shake hands with sin. And then you sit and have a cup of tea with it. And then you have a little, you know, rum in the tea with it. And then you have a little bit of sin. And the next thing you know, yesterday at the gym, there's a guy there, I've seen him before, with a tattoo of a devil on his entire back. You seen that? Say, how did you see that, girl? Who are you shaking hands with, woman? Sorry, I'm just a quick thinker. He's got a tattoo of the devil on his whole back and every other kind of demonic sign and symbol on his whole body. I'm thinking, level four. He's a level four enemy of God. Hey, it doesn't matter. If you go to Atlantic City and drop a few bucks in the slots and everything else. But I heard of a woman yesterday who committed suicide because she had $400,000 worth of gambling debt. She'd gone to level four, enemy of God. Can you hear what I'm saying? You see, as Ernie Fink used to say, if sin was like poking a pin in your eye, you'd never do it. But it ain't. It's called Bathsheba. And why is Bathsheba so attractive? Because you should have been going to war, but instead you went on the roof and woo, internet pornography. Next thing you know, King David is an enemy of God. But there's forgiveness. You can come back in, but it's your decision. It's your decision to make yourself an enemy of God, and it's your decision to make yourself a friend of God. Hallelujah. Your decision. Okay. Next one will be Exodus, whatever that one is, please. Thomas. He's the director of our... So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to his camp. But Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. God spoke to Moses like a man speaks to his friend, not an acquaintance or casual, like a friend. So the next verse is James 2:23, please. As I was saying, Tom Segretti is the... I don't know what we call him now, director of expeditions for our ministry. And the scripture was fulfilled, which is Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness and he was called a friend of God. Now, I'd like to tell you this. He was called a friend after he left his country, after he left his father's house and realized that friendship with God is stronger than your natural relationship with your birth family. Come on, folks, we got to go there. Jesus said, he who does not hate mother, father, wife cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But those who do the will of my father. That is my mother. That is. Are we okay there? Okay, next one then I believe is John. Greater love has no... That's good. Has no one than this, than he lay down one's life for his friends. Next verse. Praise God. Did I write 10:13? I thought it was... You got the next one, boss? Tom's good at this, but I gave him the list late. Must be... No, I wrote down the wrong verse. It says, if anyone's got their Bible open, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Has anybody got that verse handy? Ah. Oh, it is the next verse. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Somebody say if. 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 Friendship is conditional. Friendship is conditional. You can lose friends. You can divorce friends. You can tell people I'm sorry. You see, we're growing apart. There's two relationships in life, growing together or growing apart. There's not three. Well, you could count the Berlin Wall and the Cold War, but you're actually not. You're growing apart. East and West Germany grew apart because of the Berlin Wall. They were still both called Germany, but they grew apart. And so I want to say this to you, and I want to encourage you. Where are you in your relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ? Is it casual? Are you an acquaintance? People at your work, they're acquainted with God. They're acquainted with Jesus. They went to church, you know, when they were kids. They're acquainted with him. But he's afar off. They have a casual relationship. They go to church two or three or four times a year, maybe every now and then. And, oh, it's been a long time. Yeah, maybe I'll go to church this week, but not next or the next or the next. When are we going to begin to realize that friendship with God is conditional? Friendship with this world is even a choice, and friendship with one another is the same. So the last thoughts are then an acquaintance, casual friendship, friendship and fellowship, or level four relationship with God is based on commitment to the development of each other's character and dreams and freedom to correct each other. Have you got a level four relationship with this earth? Have you got a level four relationship with this world? And do you have a level four relationship with God? And I want to encourage you to think about these things. Because iron sharpens iron. How? Iron sharpens iron. Like the countenance of a friend. If you want to have a sharp life and get something done, you've got to have level four friends. Or your axe is dull. And it takes a lot of energy to get anything done. So I want to encourage you about your friendships. Most of us, we don't have friendships because we're hiding something. We feel judged. We feel shame. We feel that what we've done is unforgivable. Yet we just saw the skit that it doesn't matter what, in this case, Gentry was doing, no matter what she did, how she was enticed, Jesus was there to forgive her and accept her. But it comes with a big if. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So I'm closing on that thought. I know it sounds a bit strong, but what we're trying to do is allow people to realize that relationships are at three levels, with each other, with this world, and with God. And we're here to help you in all three of those. We have powerful relationships, strong relationships in this church, and we are trying to welcome other people into it because we know what we've got. That's why our vision statement is building a strong people of compassion and character, and it doesn't come through acquaintances. Amen?